home. 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 What a wonderful word. What an important word. What an exciting word. Home. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Home. All of us are interested in having a lovely home. All of us are interested in having a place where we live, where we feel comfortable, we feel warm. It's our castle, it's our place of where we really want to be. And how have we been brought up in our homes? How have we been brought up in the home in which we were little children and we grew up? Were they the finest home that they could be? Were they the most wonderful home? Oh, yes, we had certainly loving relations with our parents and with our siblings, but was it really the ideal home? Was it the ideal home that we would like our children to be raised in? And are we raising them in that home now? Is it the kind of home that you'd like to read about in books, say, the ideal home, where the mother was always there, taking care of the children, planning their program, the father came in at the evenings and after his work and so forth, and the children were all part of the family and part of the wonderful thing. And everyone loved the home and respected the home. And the phrase was often, this is what we do in our house. This is how we act in our house. We are unconditionally loving in our house. Oh, you are protective of your family. You're protective of your family over and above anybody else's family. You're protective of your family because they're your family. They're the people that are important in your life. And really, how important are they? They're just another child born in a family. How important are they? How important is our family, is our home? Have we trained ourselves to realize that as we learn a skill or learn a trade, or as we learn an art, we spend considerable time on them. We perfect ourselves in that art. First, we learn what the art of music is, and then how we can perform it in whatever instrument we choose. We choose what kind of a business we're going to have, and what is this business going to provide for the world. And how is this business going to provide it? Is it going to be the finest business that we can ever be? Are we going to be the finest craftsman in our field? Are we going to have a community that has the finest community in the world? Are we so proud of our community? Are we proud of our country? Are we proud of our country, and are we proud of this wonderful country and what it has achieved and how it stands relative to other countries in the world? It's our country. It's our special country. It's our country because we made it. Well, that same condition goes for our home. Our home is what it is because we made it. Now, what did you make your home? How are you brought up in your family? Was your dad the king, the ruler, and your mom the slave? Or was your mom a loving, integral part of the family doing her work? Did your mother have a job too so that she could support the family and the basics? Oh, we all want to give our families the best. We want our family to have the finest. We want our family to have the nicest home, the nicest clothing, the nicest car, all the nicest foods and all the nicest things. But what is the most important thing that a family could provide for itself. A family provides the most important thing for itself in providing the unconditional love in the manner in which every individual member in the family participates in the family activity. Now, is Mama always right? Is Daddy always right? Is the older brothers or sisters always right? Who is always right in the family? Well, there's no always right. What there is what's for the benefit of everyone? What's for the good of the family? What's for the good of the group? Oh, yes, when we are living alone in our own apartment somewhere and we have no one to think about but ourselves, but even there we think about others. We think about our community. We think about our neighbors. We think about the world in which we live. Do we want barking dogs in the neighborhood, or do we want loving dogs? Do we want a happy neighborhood where people take care of their yards, or do we want a slovenly neighborhood? All these things are how we grew up, what our family consisted of. So many people, they say, well, the neighbor doesn't do their job. The neighbor doesn't do right. And then you ask the question, are you doing right? Do you maintain your grounds? Do you maintain your lawn? Do you maintain your house? Do you maintain your family in the highest quality? When your children are obstreperous, when they're noisy and loud and disturbing the neighbors, and someone comes over and says, their children are very loud, and then the neighbor says, well, they're my kids, but they got to be kids. They're doing their thing. Well, are they doing their thing, or are they disturbing the neighbors? Why would anyone ever have to disturb anyone else in life? We go and live our life harmoniously, beautifully, wonderfully, cooperatively, and when our parents teach us to do this, is it going to disturb the neighbors when the children are orderly and loving and gentle? Is it going to disturb the neighbors when our children realize that they're living in a neighborhood? Now, if they want to go live on a mountaintop or want to go live out in some wild area where nobody else lives, they can act pretty much as they wish. People say, you can do anything you want in your own home. But when you're out in society, then you have to cooperate with society's rules. Well, what are the rules in your home? What are the rules in my home? What are the ways in which I raise my family? What are the ways in which I live my life in my home? Do people come into my house and say, oh my goodness, this feels so peaceful. It feels so wonderful. I just love to come into your house. I love to come onto your property. I love to come where you live. Because it seems to be surrounded by a loving gentleness that I don't find everywhere. Well, now, why doesn't that person find it everywhere? Because they don't put it everywhere. Why is it on our property? Why is it in our home that there is gentleness, lovingness, peacefulness, quietness? Because we put it there. We are concerned about our home. Oh, the mother goes around picking up things around the house. She goes around taking care of everything. She makes sure that the dishes are all properly put away in the cupboards, and she makes sure that everything is orderly and good. But she doesn't make sure and say, this is what you kids should do. I shouldn't have to do everything. I shouldn't have to do. She does it because she loves it. And when the mother does everything she does because she loves it, because it's for herself, because it's for her family, then you can be sure the family will follow suit. Whatever the parent teaches the child will take on as their attitude too. And we are born into families of wealth or poverty. We're born into families of order or disorder. We're born into all these things, but it doesn't have to be ours. Many times people are born into families that are in poverty, and these people grow out of that. They gain the attitude of abundance. Some people are born into families with have many illnesses, and they choose to grow out of that. They choose to no longer live in a condition of illness. They keep their home orderly. They keep their home in beautiful manners so that everyone who comes into that home feels very either comfortable or uncomfortable. You can feel very comfortable in a super clean home. But we're not talking about a super clean home. We're talking about an orderly home, a lived-in home, a home where things are taken care of, where the furniture is dusted, but not within an inch of its life, where everything about the home is for the family. It's for use, for enjoyment. And as we live in such a home, we want to be there as often as we can. We want to bring our friends into that home. We want to bring our community into that home. We love to show it off. But really, we don't love to show it off. We love to share it. To show it off is not necessarily a good thing. Showing it off seems like you're superior to the others. But to share it is a totally different thing. Many times children are living in conditions where they don't have all the things they'd like, and they go over to the neighbor's houses, and the neighbors have many beautiful things that they would enjoy. Well, they don't covet that. They have learned not to do that at their home. They enjoy it. And they play with the neighbor children's toys, and they delight in them. And when they go home, they don't say, gee, I wish I had that. Gee, I wish I had this. They just remember that every time they went to the neighbor's house, and in the neighbor's company and in the neighbor's attitude, they felt good and everyone felt good. We can look at a neighborhood, and the neighborhood can be a rich neighborhood or a poor neighborhood. It can be an ordinary neighborhood. And if that neighborhood is one that's filled with love, if everyone in that neighborhood loves their home, loves their family, loves their lifestyle, they will keep their lawn in order. They will keep their sidewalks swept. They will keep the street in front of their house clear of any rubbish or anything that might fall down, or branches or bushes or leaves and things, and they just sweep them up. And as you do that, your neighborhood is a beautiful place. As I was a child, I often tell this story, probably to the distraction of some people, but as I was a child, I lived in a very pleasant neighborhood, but it was a dirty neighborhood. Oh, it was dirty. We had trees, elm trees everywhere, beautiful, glorious, giant elm trees, and they would drop their leaves at different seasons of the year, and they would drop broken sticks occasionally. And as we were trained in our own home, whenever we saw fallen leaves or fallen sticks, we'd pick them up, or we'd clean them up, or the street sweeper would come by and sweep them up, and everything would be orderly as much as possible. And so when we did this, we did it at our own home, but we also reached out to our neighbor's homes, not because we had to or they couldn't do it, but because we love to see everything in order. We love to see everything. I remember we had a coal bin in our house, under the house, and it would be called a fire hazard today, but it was a coal bin. And the coalmen would come up with their coal trucks and dump it into this little window that go into this little room, and that was a coal bin. And it was right next to the furnace. And we would take shovelfuls of coal and throw it in the furnace, and the house would be warm and toasty. Now, that coal bin was very black. Now, when the coal was all burned, and we didn't get another load again because it was summertime, I had the chore of cleaning up the coal bin. I had to go into the coal bin, which is now empty of coal, a little piece here and there, and I had to sweep it and sweep it and sweep it. And my mother would always say, it's not a matter of the coal bin. It's not a matter that the coal goes in the coal bin. It's that that's a room in our house, and it's now being, it's empty. It's no longer being used to have coal in, so we're going to clean it up. Now, she didn't tell me how to clean it, but she knew that whatever I did, I liked to do lovingly and completely and fully. And so I took the broom and swept out all the coal, slowly, so it wouldn't cause any dust. And I put it in buckets. And when I put it in the buckets, I took the buckets outside, and I put it behind the garage. And I cleaned up that room, and I cleaned up that room. And I cleaned it up every day when I came home from school. And I would clean it up so perfectly clean. And then I would take the scrub brush and a bucket of soapy water and wash the room down. Wash the windowsill down where the coal was put in. Wash all of the things down and make it all clean as a whistle. Now, none of the family realized I was doing this because they had other things that they were doing. And this was my chore from Mum. And so I would clean that up. And finally, after several weeks of working at it very carefully, the room was spick and span, clean as a whistle. And then I'd take paint and I would paint the windowsill because it had been so maligned as the coal was being tossed in there, and put a nice several coats of paint on the window frame and the windowsill and the window itself, and washed the window itself, and oh my goodness, it was so nice to see it, light coming through the window again. But it was beautiful. Now, who saw that coal bin? I did. Whose job was it to clean up the coal bin? Not quite to the extent that I did, but to clean it up, me. And who was proud of what they did? I was. And who was I doing it for? Was I doing it for Mother? For the family? For my home? For my world? I was doing it for myself. I was doing it for myself because I had the chore of that room. That was my task. And my task was to see it done perfectly and beautifully. In fact, the basement of our house was my task. And every room in that basement sparkled all the time. And my family did not know of a basement that was not shiny and sparkly, because this was my task and this was my joy. This was my contribution among many others, but my contribution to making our home into a lovely, delightful, enjoyable place. You could go anywhere in our house, anywhere in our yard, and each one of us would do our little chores, and each one of us would make the garden in the back of the house as beautiful as it could be. We made the driveway, which ran from the front of the yard, the front of the house naturally, all the way to the backyard where the garage was. And we would make everything as perfect as we could, not because we were trying to make someone say, isn't that wonderful? But because we were proud of the task we had in our home. What was our chore in our home to make our home beautiful, to make our home a home? To make everyone who entered our home feel, yes, this is great. And a home is not made because you must do things, but because you want to do things around it. Now, could we have every home in the world filled with families who had pride in their home, who had delight in their home? Every mother who picked up clothing around the home, not because she had to, but because she wanted things in order. Now, if she trained the children to always pick up their clothing and to always put their things away, as my mom had done, she would never have to do that. My mom could oftentimes take an afternoon and sit down and read a book, or she could write stories as she liked to do. And she didn't feel that she was not taking care of her duty in the house, because she had five wonderful helpers, all joining her in keeping that house in ideal condition. And Pop always took care of the major things, like putting in a special window in the bathroom, which was made out of glass. It was a glass block. That was the name of it, glass block window. And it was in the bathroom. You didn't need shades or anything for it, because it just light came in. You couldn't see through it. And it was just so beautiful. And when we took a shower, the shower water just ran right down the glass block window, and it was always clean and beautiful. Our home is what our attitude is about it. If our attitude about our home is that we love it, if our attitude about our home is that we respect it and we know that our home is beautiful and good, if that's our attitude about our home, you can be sure that every member of our family will want to do whatever their task is in the home. And we're all given little chores to do in a home and things to do around a home. And if there's no one but the mother, you can be sure the mother keeps everything as beautiful as she can. And if there's only the father, then he does that. If there are only the children, and yes, there are families that are only children, then they do that. Now, what about when mother and dad are both working to keep a high lifestyle that they think we should have? The latest television, the latest car, the latest clothing, the latest furniture, the latest paint job on the outside, the latest carpeting inside the house, all these things, they cost money. They're not necessary, but they cost money. Many families don't have those things, and they're still very wonderful families and very happy families. But should a family be where the mother and father want to give their children everything, and so they go out and earn all the money they can, then the children are taking care of the house themselves. The children are taking care of their home themselves. And however they have been trained by their parents to respect their home and love their home will be how they take care of their home. And as they go off into their world, they will take care of their home that way. And as they raise families, they will raise families in the ilk that they had been raised themselves, in the manner that they had been raised by their parents. This is our home. Remember when a home had a parlor? Oh my goodness, that goes way back. A parlor, P-A-R-L-O-R. It was a second living room. And it was usually a living room that had sliding doors going to it. And the doors were always kept closed except when company came. And then when company came, that those doors were opened and it was action as though the room was used all the time. But the family put on their best manners and their best attitude. And they sat carefully on the furniture, not to wear it out or destroy it or to hurt it in any way. And these were things that you were trained to do. These were things you were trained to know in your world and in your life. If we learn to live in our home, we learn to live in our individual bodies in that same loving, caring way. We learn to keep beautiful thoughts in our mind. We keep beautiful thoughts in our home. We learn to keep beautiful ideas around us at all times. And should we do this, should we have a class in how to have a perfect home or how to have an ideal home, how wonderful it would be. Should we have a class on the ideal husband or ideal wife, ideal mother, ideal father, the ideal child? What would we teach them? Well, we would teach them, first off, unconditional love for themselves and for their world. And with this unconditional love, the only one that's supposed to do anything is themselves. If anyone else does, that's wonderful. But the only one supposed to do something is themselves. So, as we have this unconditional love, our home becomes the most beautiful, desirable experience of our life. We cannot wait to get home. We cannot wait to enjoy our family life at home. And when our family grows, they come to visit at home, not because they want to be near their parents, they want to be near the rest of the family, but because it's home. And it has that feeling of loving living in it, the feeling of tenderness. And should the world be filled with homes, there would never be war. Should the world be filled with unconditionally loving homes, there would be peace on earth in every area. Should the world be filled with unconditionally loving homes where people live what they believe, there would be no contesting ourselves with a neighbor trying to live up to his new car and his new house and his new this or that. There would be only living in oneness and harmony. And perhaps this is what every one of us can do. There is peace on earth, and it began with me because it first began in my home. It began in my attitude. It began in who and what I am. When my home is peace, I can be sure there will be peace on earth. When my home is love, I can be sure there will be love everywhere. When my home is divine, then I can be sure that my world is divine, and naturally, I will be living divine all of the time. Join me in my home anytime you like. You're always a welcome guest. I love you. I love you. I love you.